Well, our election 2013 coverage continues today with a look at a city charter amendment proposal to decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana in Lansing. It's on the ballot 1 week from today. More than 6,000 people signed a petition to put the amendment on the ballot. Marijuana has been made legal in two states. And for the first time ever, a recent Gallup poll found that a majority of Americans, 58%, favor legalization. What would the passage of the Lansing Charter Amendment mean? And is the time right for Lansing to move away from enforcement of marijuana laws? Attorney Jeff Hank of the group Coalition for a Safer Lansing is behind the effort to decriminalize pot in Lansing. We welcome him back to Current State. Hi, Jeff.
Thank you.
And we're joined by Ingham County Prosecutor Stuart Dunnings Jr. as well to get his views.
Stuart Dunnings Jr.
to get his views. Thanks for joining us again, Stuart. We also reached out to the Lansing Police Department, but Police Chief Mike Yankowski was not available to join us. Let's start with the ballot language here, Jeff, and I'll quote. This is what voters will see 1 week from today in Lansing. Shall the charter of the city of Lansing, Michigan be amended such that nothing in the code of ordinances shall apply to the use, possession, or transfer of less than 1 ounce of marijuana on private property by a person who has attained the age of 21 years, unquote. There's been a lot of talk over what passage would actually mean in Lansing and some degree of confusion. Jeff, what's your intent with this language?
Well, our intent, Mark, is to have the Lansing police back off of enforcement of adult possession, use, or transfer of marijuana. And that's our goal here. We want the police to focus on real crimes, more serious crimes. You hear all the time about budgets being cut, police officers being laid off, concerns of people about public safety. And I think most people, as you said, with a Gallup poll earlier, are supportive of the idea that it's time to treat marijuana, or as I like to call it, cannabis, differently. So the goal here is to save police resources, have a more safe community by having police focus on more serious crimes, and make people feel like they have some of their freedom back by doing this. And overall, we hope that it improves community relations between police and the public, and that overall we have a better community, and that this leads the state and hopefully the federal government to move forward on cannabis reform in general.
Did you spend much time looking at possible unintended consequences of passage?
Well, there's always unintended consequences, and I'm sure that this ordinance, actually this charter amendment, will be interpreted by courts someday, or you'll have people rely on it. You know, we can't really deal with what's going to happen in the future, but our goal is, you know, pretty simple, and it's pretty straightforward language, and that's to have, you know, the police back off and not enforce, you know, minor possession, use, or transfer by adults on private property of marijuana.
Stuart Dunnings, I'd be interested in your response to that. This would apply to less than an ounce of marijuana on private property by a person who has attained at least the age of 21 years, just for the city of Lansing. What do you make of this proposal?
Well, I think as a practical matter, it's not going to have much effect as far as law enforcement goes. The police are not out looking for people who have an ounce or less of marijuana. Normally, when people are brought into the criminal justice system for having that small amount of marijuana, they've done something else. So it's sort of like an add-on. So somebody gets pulled over for something, so for a violation, and they've got marijuana, or they have a warrant for something else and they've got marijuana. So for those small amounts of marijuana, I don't think it's going to have any effect practically. Also, this only goes to violations of the Lansing City Ordinance. It doesn't do anything about the state law. It doesn't do anything about federal law. So if the city of Lansing wants to tell their police officers, don't write ordinance tickets, you know, for this small amount of marijuana, there's nothing to prevent them, if the person's involved with another crime, with bringing it over to the prosecutor's office, a violation of state law, and saying, oh, you know, in addition, this person had X amount of marijuana, which they could then be charged under state law. And again, it's still a federal violation to use, possess any amount of marijuana. As far as unintended consequences, like you mentioned before, I think probably the biggest effect would be psychologically, everybody thinking, well, you know, marijuana is legal. But the other one that we've seen as a result of the increase in medical marijuana use is drugged driving, people driving under the influence of marijuana. unfortunately, I tried to break out the stats for the number of cases we've charged for that, but we can't because the driving under the influence of alcohol and driving under the influence of controlled substances is the same statute. So it comes up just as the same statute when we run it through our computer system. So I can't break out the number of drug driving cases, but I can tell you it's on the rise.
Well, anything you'd care to add to that, Jeff Hank?
Absolutely. Our charter amendment doesn't deal with drug driving, as it's called. That would still be illegal under state law if you're doing that. We want to make that very clear. We don't encourage or want people to be driving when they're impaired. And I didn't bring any studies with me today, but there are some studies out there to show that people driving under, you know, moderate or minor use of marijuana are no more dangerous drivers than normal drivers. I mean, people who drive distracted by cell phones or lack of sleep or prescription drugs are also potentially dangerous drivers. So we don't equate necessarily the use of marijuana with dangerous driving. Could it be? Certainly, but just so could anything else be. So we want to make that clear that what we're doing doesn't apply to people driving under the influence. It doesn't apply to minors. That's the two biggest concerns we hear from people. Well, those kids will get it more. People will be driving high. Well, this doesn't allow people to do that and doesn't allow kids to do that, and kids are already getting it right now. So our idea here is to sort of stimulate this discussion and talk about how can we go forward to create better policies here, and that starts by the city of Lansing backing off of, you know, minor use, possession, and transfer by adults.
Okay. Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette has notified the governor that in his opinion, the amendment is not consistent with Michigan's Home Rule Cities Act, and that even if this measure passes, marijuana will remain a controlled substance, as you've alluded to, Stuart Dunnings. It will remain a controlled substance under state and federal law. The governor agrees, and he does not approve of the amendment. Can we clarify what the Home Rule Cities Act actually says, either of you?
Oh, yeah, I can just briefly touch on that. The charter amendment has to go through the Home Rule Cities Act. That lays out the process for amending the charter. And, for example, in this case, we had to have 5% of Lansing voters sign a petition in order to amend the charter. The Home Rule Cities Act then has any proposed charter amendment anywhere in the state of Michigan that falls under that act go to the governor for approval. Now, the governor, this happened in Detroit and other places also, they essentially have to approve it, even, you know, to allow voters to vote on it, whether or not they agree with it or not. In this case, the state. So it goes to the state for review, and then that's what you're talking about, that Bill Schuette and
right.
Rick Snyder sent letters saying they don't approve it, but it still goes to the voters, even if they don't approve it or even if they say it's inconsistent. So it's going to be before the voters. Our final point is you brought up the Controlled Substance Act. Michigan and the federal government still treats marijuana as a Schedule 1 drug, which means it has no medicinal benefit. I think most people these days and voters of the state of Michigan have said marijuana does have a medicinal benefit. That's why we have a Medical Marijuana Act. So that classification, most people and we believe, needs to change, and we hope that this helps lead to that.
Mayor Virge Bernero has voiced support for the amendment. The Lansing State Journal reports that he calls the marijuana prohibition, quote, a complete failure. I assume it helps your cause to have the backing of the mayor. How has that played out, Jeff?
Well, we're very pleased that it was an unsolicited endorsement by Mayor Bernero. To hear politicians talking this way today, and at least half the city council candidates support either what we're doing directly, or I've even heard Brian Jeffries say he supports decriminalization. Just about all of them support doing something. So I think that's a sea change in attitudes. 10, 15 years ago, I think politicians would have been afraid to say that. And so we're pleased that Mayor Bernero's taken a leadership position on the issue and is out there hopefully stimulating the discussion.
Stuart Dunnings, can you clarify for us, please, if the county sheriff's deputy arrested somebody for marijuana in the city of Lansing or the state police, state police, which statute would they likely invoke?
They would always use state law.
The county and the state always use.
Yeah, they'd always use state law.
And what are the odds of a county law enforcement person or a state policeman stopping somebody for marijuana in the city of Lansing?
Probably not as great with the county. They tend not to come into Lansing. But, you know, oftentimes the boundaries are, you know, illusory sort of. So if they're following somebody or chasing somebody and they start outside the city and they go into the city, the state troopers, there are state troopers patrolling Lansing all the time now. So the chances of being interdicted by a state trooper is probably there.
Is there a chance for selective enforcement here? For example, you alluded a few minutes ago, Stuart Dunnings, to people who are caught in possession of a small amount of marijuana, but frequently the charges involve some other thing.
They've done something else.
Okay. So for repeat offenders or something in conjunction with another crime, would you expect a harsher law to be imposed rather than the Lansing City marijuana ordinance if it passes?
Well, I guess if you're saying so, if the police come upon somebody acting suspiciously and they have a gun, an illegal gun on their person, and they also have some marijuana, there's nothing selective about it. I mean, they've been caught. They're going to be charged under state law for the weapon violation, and we'd have the marijuana also.
But could there ever be a situation, for example, where an African-American resident is charged with violating the state law and a white resident let go, citing the city ordinance?
That could always happen, Mark. I mean, if it did, obviously that would be a huge problem. But this theme is played out throughout the country and throughout the state anywhere these kind of laws have been passed. You have a federal government that's in conflict with state laws. You have local laws which are in conflict with state laws. What we would hope is that the local police will respect the will of the voters. And you have to understand that the overwhelming majority of marijuana arrests in the United States, I think it's 95 to 99%, are done by state or local law enforcement. It's quite often local law enforcement. So our goal here is to have – it's not just symbolic. It's to have a practical effect that if you are in the city of Lansing, which is a major population hub for Ingham County, you're most likely, if you're to have an interaction with the police over marijuana, it's probably going to be the Lansing police.
Mm-hmm.
So our hope is that we would eliminate a wide swath of those enforcement actions. And then it's totally up to the county officials or state police or, in the rare occasion, the federal government is involved, whether they want to enforce those laws. But this is sort of a piecemeal repeal of prohibition bit by bit if we can. I mean, this is a local initiative. These are local voters, and we're trying to, you know, create our own local law here. And this is sort of your traditional American democracy and these themes of the supremacy of different laws and how much local control do we have over our own lives and our own destinies. And mm-hmm. we're trying to do that here, and we hope that eventually it will have an effect at the higher levels at the state and federal government.
Stuart Dunnings, does it ever fall to you to determine, just clarify the process a little bit more, does it ever fall to you to determine which statute to invoke when a marijuana case comes to you? Does it ever fall to you to invoke the state law as opposed to a local ordinance if the Lansing law were passed?
We don't have anything to do with City of Lansing ordinance violations. I mean, let's take the crime of drunk driving, first offense. The City of Lansing has an ordinance which mirrors the state statute of drunk driving, first offense. Everybody that LPD stops, LPD Lansing Police Department stops within the City of Lansing for the crime of drunk driving, first offense, they're charged under ordinance violation and sent to the city attorney if that's the only crime that's involved. So in this situation, I would assume that if LPD interdicts somebody that has less than an ounce of marijuana because the city ordinance says it's no longer a violation of the ordinance, of any ordinance of the City of Lansing, I would assume if that's the only thing going on, that nothing would happen.
Okay. We should point out that Lansing Police Chief Mike Yankowski told us through a spokesperson that the Lansing Police Department is doing its due diligence and is still researching the issue and would prefer not to speculate about things that have not happened and indeed may not happen. Jeff, what do we know statistically then about arrests, convictions in recent years? You've represented a number of people in this situation. What have you seen in general?
Well, you do see enforcement of marijuana possession and use. You do see it at the city level. You may see it in the City of Lansing. You'll see it in the City of East Lansing, just like Mr. Dunnings was talking about. Those are prosecuted under, a lot of times, local ordinances, depending on what city you're in. They can also be prosecuted under state law. I think, to the Ingham County Prosecutor's Office credit, I don't typically see the Prosecutor's Office prosecuting people under state law for, you know, simple possession of marijuana. Usually it's probably pled down to something else. Part of the reason we're doing this, Mark, is that we think in some instances anyway, there's policing for profit. when you have a local ordinance that allows a local government to enforce a law and to make money off of it, they may be more inclined to do so. For example, the city of East Lansing would do this, where you'd get a possession of marijuana charge, and you wouldn't end up with a possession of marijuana charge on your record at the end of the day. You'd go in and you'd pay a littering ticket or something for $500. Now, a lot of people I know think littering is worse than possession of marijuana. You didn't even litter, but you don't want a criminal record, right? So you pay the littering ticket and you get a civil infraction, and your criminal record never comes into being and disappears. So part of our goal here is to prevent the criminal record from ever happening in the first place. And people throw around the words decriminalization a lot. That's like what Grand Rapids did, where there's still a civil infraction fine. Our idea here is that we don't want a potential revenue source or there'd be any incentive for enforcement of a marijuana law. We feel that if it's a serious law, we should want to enforce it in the first place, and it should be something we should come down hard on, like with real crimes. And if it's not a serious law, then we shouldn't be bothering with it or enforcing it, and we shouldn't have an incentive to make any money off it in the first place. So that's why some local jurisdictions will enforce these laws, because at the end of the day, this money gets split up depending on right. who initiates the prosecution.
Where does that money go now? Where does the pot money that's retrieved in cases that go through your office, Stuart Dunnings, where does that go now?
Okay, if somebody is charged under state law and they are given fines, those fines would go to the court, and to part of it, I think, goes to the county general fund. Part of it goes to the court. As he was saying, if somebody is charged under city ordinance, the fines go to the city. They don't go to the county. So, I mean, he's absolutely right about, you know, the financial incentive.
Okay. We want to thank both of you for joining us here today. 1 week from today, voters in the city of Lansing determine whether or not to decriminalize small amounts of marijuana on private property by people 21 years of age or older. Jeff Hank is an attorney for the group Coalition for a Safer Lansing. He backs the effort. And Ingham County Prosecutor Stuart Dunnings III. We appreciate your time, both of you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.